Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
So we have been in a series titled, The Word of God Is. And again, I want to reiterate, this is a series that we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about that. When I say the Word of God, I'm talking about God's Holy Word, the Holy Bible. And we're talking about all that it is, what the Bible is to us spiritually. Now, last week, I got to take a little break as Justin came up here. And he brought a fantastic word on the purpose in your pain. Didn't he do a good job last week? Will y'all let him know that? Did a great job on that, purpose in your pain, and I just wanted to thank Justin for stepping up for me. He did that, so the week before I was in Florida with my family, and so I could just kind of relax and enjoy my time together on that family vacation. So I appreciate you, brother, and you did a great job. But we're going back into the series today, The Word of God Is. So far in this series, I want to reiterate what we've said, kind of review what we've said since we had a week off. Okay, so in the first week, we said the Word of God is a mirror. It's a mirror. So what we do is we open this, and we read it, and what it does first and foremost is it reveals Jesus to us, the one in whose image that we are made, okay? So we open and read it, it reveals Jesus to us, and it's just like a mirror, though. We're supposed to see ourselves in it. And so as we're reading it, it reveals things to us in our lives that should probably be there. It reveals things in our lives that probably shouldn't be there. Then it reveals things that maybe are out of order, out of place. Just kind of like when you and I look physically into a mirror and we see things. I never have a hair problem. I don't ever have a bad hair day. But sometimes I got to adjust some clothing articles because they're out of place. So just like we do when we look into a mirror physically, when we read the Bible, that's what happens to us spiritually. And as we read that, we make adjustments. And when we make adjustments, we're conformed more and more into His image. All right? So we've said that the Word of God is a mirror. We said that the Word of God is bread. It is our spiritual nourishment. We said that it's our daily bread, which means we should be gathering it or we should be reading it when? Every day, daily, okay? We said that it is our sustaining bread, that it gives us strength when we need it, right? And we said that it is our true bread because Jesus, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, okay? So 2 weeks ago, we said the Word of God is water. It's water. And that it can be and become a fountain of living water springing up from the inside of us out, okay? But we talked about how words are water, and the enemy has words too. Revelation 12 tells us that. It goes into detail. If you didn't hear this sermon, go back 2 weeks ago and listen to it. It goes into detail how Satan opened his mouth and spewed water and tried to carry us away with the floods, right? So we talked about how the enemy's words are water and how he wants to flood us with his words. But here's the good news. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Guess what? This is the standard. He has spoken his word, and the enemy can't overcome this word. This word makes us overcomers, right? And so that's the standard. And so we said that the devil wants to starve us or dehydrate us from hearing the word of the Lord. But the really, really good news is that Jesus wants to fill us with His Word. And if we are filled to overflowing with Him and His living water, then others, as we overflow, others can get a taste and see that God is good. Amen? All right? And so that catches us up to where we're going to talk about today. Okay? And we're going to talk about the Word of God is water. Okay? Or, sorry, air. It's air. The Word of God is air. It's breath. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this. There's a trend I've got going on in this series, right? And it's this. We said that the Word of God is bread, which is food. We said the Word of God is water, which is drink. And today, the Word of God is air, or it is breath. Food, water, air. All those things are necessary for us to be able to survive physically. Amen? And the point I'm trying to make to you right now is that the Word of God is essential to us spiritually. It's not just something that we can just take or leave in our walk with the Lord, but it is something. It carries the essential things we need to be able to survive and to be strengthened, and not only to be able to survive, but to thrive in our walk with the Lord, okay? So the Word of God, what I'm trying to say, is essential to us. Amen? Now, I told you 2 weeks ago that most experts say that the average person, now this is the average person, right? The average person, it all depends on our physical capabilities and where we are at personally, but the average person may be able to go 40 to 80 days without food and still be able to survive. But after that, you're in trouble, okay? We also said that most experts say the average person could go anywhere between 4 and 14 days without water and still survive. But after that, you're in trouble. How long do you think somebody can go without air, without breath, and survive? I'm going to tell you in generality what they say. Generally, this is what they say. After just 4 to 6 minutes of no air, the brain actually begins to suffer damage. You start to get brain damage, okay? After that 6 minute mark, you get up to 7, 8 minutes, all the way up to 15 minutes of no air, there is permanent brain damage that begins to settle in. It's most likely in most cases, all right? Or even within that time, your brain can lose complete function, and they essentially call you brain dead. But after 20 minutes period of no air, there is no life. There's no life. So air, breath, is essential for us to survive. And we can't go too long without it without suffering some dire consequences, okay? And really, this kind of hit pretty close to home this past week for Amanda and I, okay? So Monday, I got a call that nobody really wants to get, right? Evan was at work, and he had went on lunch break with his coworkers. He was eating with Terry and a few others that he was working with. And they went to Jefferson's in Calhoun, and he was eating some chicken fingers. And like most young men, he was probably eating really too fast and too big of bites. And so he was gobbling that down, and Evan got choked. And it wasn't just like a quick choke. He got choked pretty bad. Terry had called me, said he'd gotten choked, that the manager at Jefferson's in Calhoun had to do the Heimlich on him. And they did get stuff out, but there were still some things going on. They had called the ambulance. It was on its way. But Evan was breathing. He was talking, so he was stable, okay? So I rushed from where I was to get to him. Straight there, I was flying. And I got there, and Evan was in the back of the ambulance, and he really wasn't saying much. I could tell he was rattled. So I prayed with him right there in the back of the ambulance. They said, look, we tried to do a swallow test on him. He's still got food lodged in his esophagus. Nothing will pass. It won't go down. His airways are clear, but he's got food there. And he was very uncomfortable sitting there. So he said, listen, we got to take him to the hospital. They're going to try to figure out what to do there. So I prayed with him in the back of the ambulance. I went to pick up Amanda, and we met them at the hospital. We actually got there as they were wheeling him in the back. So he still had this food lodged, and they said, okay, they got him back there. They said, we're going to try to, we'll start with medicine to try to get his esophagus to relax, and maybe it'll go down, but if that doesn't work, we'll have to put him to sleep and do an endoscopy and just kind of push it down. If it won't go down, we'll have to pull it out. So we were praying there in the hospital room because Evan didn't want to have any kind of procedure done. We didn't want to have any kind of procedure done. And so we just were praying that it would go down on its own. And really, after about 2 hours there in the ER room, all of a sudden, he got real uncomfortable certain times. But all of a sudden, he was sitting there on the side of the bed. He had his eyes closed. And, wait a minute, I think it just went down. And so they came back in. He's like, hey, I think it went down. They made him do a liquid swallow test, and they made him do a solid swallow test, and eventually they released us because it had cleared. So, yeah, praise the Lord. But I asked Evan, and Evan's not a real vocal person, you know. I said, hey, I bet that scared you, didn't you? And he looked at me wide-eyed, and he said, I was the most scared I've ever been in my life. He said, it was the most scared I've ever been in my life. I said, do you think? He's like, yeah, yeah. When you are choking or when you cannot breathe, that is a very scary thing. It's a life-threatening thing. And I want to talk to you this morning about how the Word of God is air to us. It is breath to us. Because I believe we got too many Christians who are malnourished, who are dehydrated, and who are oxygen depleted, and it's because we're choking on the things of this world. And if this is spiritual breath, then if we go too long without it, then spiritually thinking, our spiritual way of thinking can be damaged. Just like we can get brain damage without air physically, if we go too long without air, without breath spiritually, our spiritual way of thinking can become very damaged. We can have spiritual brain damage, okay? So I want everybody to do this right here, okay? Everybody, take a deep breath. Let it out real slow. Didn't that feel good? Did it feel good? Okay, do it one more time. Let it out slow. Now, let's talk about doing that in a spiritual sense. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I want to show you why we can say that the Word of God is air. We can say that it is breath, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all Scripture, okay? Let me just point this out. I say this a lot, but it's always worth saying again and again. What does all mean? All. All Scripture, from beginning to end, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Make a note of those five words, given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, now those five words I told you to make note of, given by inspiration of God, right there in verse 16. Those five words in English are actually just one word in the Greek as it was originally written. It's just one word, okay? And that one Greek word is this word. It's theopneustos. Theopneustos, okay? And y'all stay with me for just a second because I'm going to kind of break this down in the Greek, okay? But that one Greek word, theopneustos, is actually two Greek words that are combined to make one. And those two Greek words are these. Theos, which means God in Greek, okay? And then neustos, which comes from the Greek word pneuma, okay? Pneuma means air, and when you say neustos, it means to breathe air, okay? So the New International Version, the NIV version of the Bible, is actually one translation that gets this translated completely and directly. And it translates this Greek word verbatim, right? In its translation, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. That's how it translates, straight from the Greek. All Scripture is God-breathed. So I want you to think about the Greek word pneuma, where neustos comes from, okay? Pneuma means air in the Greek. And we have a lot of words in our English language that derive or come from that word, right? Here's one that everyone has probably heard of in their life. Pneumonia, right? Pneumonia. Pneumonia means you have a problem with your lungs. You have a problem with your air, with your breathing, okay? What about this? Pneumatic. Right? A lot of people have pneumatic tools, which means that tool is driven by air. It's a pneumatic tool, right? So it says here, what we just read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But here's what you need to know from the Greek. It literally is translated, all Scripture is breathed by God. And that is why we call it the inspiration of Scripture. The word inspire literally means to breathe in. That's what inspire means. Now, there's a secondary definition that we know, and it means to breathe an idea or to breathe a motivation into someone to do something. Like, you could say you went to church, and I was inspired to go feed the needy or inspired to go feed the homeless after church service because there was an idea, there was something that went into you, and it inspired your heart and your mind to do it. But the literal word inspire actually just means to breathe in, to breathe in. So when we talk about the inspiration of Scripture, it means that God breathed into holy men as they wrote the Scripture, and that's what makes it holy, because God breathed it into them. So let me throw out another word that maybe you never thought of about with air or breathing, and it's expiration. Expiration, okay? The word expire actually means to breathe out. Now again, it has secondary meanings that we're probably all more familiar with. But the original primary definition of expire literally means to breathe out or to exhale. So inspire is inhale, expire is exhale, to breathe out. If someone expired, it means they breathed out their last breath. They expired. That's their last breath, okay? But now we have, expire is more commonly known as something coming to an end, like with our groceries, right? So on your eggs and your milk and a lot of your grocery items, you have an expiration date. But I just had to throw this in here because I got to thinking when I was making notes. I told Ryan, I said, I think I've come up with a new conspiracy, right? Because if you go look at it now, they've gotten a little more clever with that expiration date thing. And now they just put best by. Anybody ever notice that? It doesn't say it expires now. It says best by. And I personally think, I'm just giving you my personal opinion. I'm just venting right now, okay? I personally think that's a way for them to get us to throw things away quicker so we have to rebuy it quicker, okay? Because, yeah, come on, somebody. It doesn't say it expires anymore. It just says it'll be best by this date. And just because something isn't at its best doesn't mean it still can't be pretty good. Right? I may not be at my best right now, but I'm still pretty good at some things, right? Right? I mean, you can taste and look at most things and say, okay, that's probably about to expire or it's expired. But this Best Buy stuff, I think it's a conspiracy. And I want to add it to the next conspiracy night, Ryan and Ashley. All right. So inspire, expire. Breathe in, breathe out. So I say all of that to say this. Not only did God inspire the Scriptures, He breathed into men as they wrote, but He also expired it, which means He breathed it out. Because He had to breathe it out to breathe it into them. So I want to give you a Scripture again that I've already used in this series, but I want to show it to you again. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, knowing this is the Apostle Peter, right, who walked with Jesus. And this has got to be of some importance because he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, the written word, is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So what it's saying is, what Peter's saying here is God breathed on them and they were moved by, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now that Greek word right there for moved is phero, and it literally means they were driven or carried away by the Holy Spirit. They were driven by it. So God breathed on them. They were inspired, or they breathed it in, and then in turn, they breathed it out and wrote it in Scripture, okay? And we've got to know this, because listen, people will argue with you over the inerrancy of Scripture. That's the enemy's argument. Oh, well, if men wrote it's got to contain errors. They will argue with you about the inerrancy of Scripture. How can you know there were not errors in Scripture? Because, listen, if it came from the mouth of God who breathed it out, and men were carried or driven by His Spirit to speak it and write it, then it doesn't have errors because God does not make mistakes. Listen, I know this is a strong statement, but if you deny the inerrancy of Scripture, then you have to deny the inspiration of Scripture. You have to. You can't have one without the other. And without God breathing this thing out, it's just any other book. And that's what the enemy would love to have people to believe, that this is just some other book. But this is not just some other book. That's why it's called the Holy Book, right? And that is why is it holy? Because it is breathed out by God. It was inspired by God Himself. And so if it's by Him Himself, it's inerrant and it is holy. And it is life to us. It is bread to us. It is water to us. And it is air to us. And you and I and all of us and all the people of this world need it in our spiritual walk. And I want to say this. I'm telling you right now, if anyone is so arrogant and they are so prideful that they think they can judge the Word of God and say, oh, it's got this, it's got that, they think they can be critical of the Word of God and deny certain aspects of it and yet claim to be a believer, you better keep your distance. If they're that arrogant, that they think they can judge the Word of God. Because listen, that's not of the Spirit of God. They may not even know sometimes what spirit they are of, but it's not the Spirit of God, because God cannot deny Himself, and He inspired every word of it. We don't get to judge this book, but I'll tell you this, one day we will be judged by the words of the book. And so there should be a great honor. There should be a great reverence for God's Word. And if there isn't, that's a red flag and you're treading in dangerous water. All right. I got all serious on y'all. Y'all got quiet on me. Y'all with me? Y'all mad at me? All right. That was my introduction. Now I'm going to really get started. Ezekiel 37. But I promise this second half will be short. Ezekiel 37. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. This is the prophet Ezekiel. He says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." Now, I want you to please take notice that it was full of bones, not skeletons. These were not skeletons that were put together. These were just random bones. It was a powerful a valley full of just dry bones, not connected, okay? They were not attached. So it was full of bones. Verse 2, "Then he," God, "caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me," God said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So I got 4 points today. Not three, I got four, okay? It's about the breath of God from these verses right here in Ezekiel 37. Here's point number one. The breath of God brings us understanding. The breath of God brings us understanding. When I say breath, I want you to know I'm talking about the word, because he told him to prophesy. Prophesy means to declare the word of the Lord. That's what it means. When you say prophesy, it means to declare the word of the Lord. So when I say breath, I'm talking about the word of the Lord. So the breath of God or the word of God brings understanding. Ezekiel 37, verse 3 again. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh Lord God, you know. Okay. So let me say this. If you're going to try to judge the Bible by whether you can understand it or not, I kind of feel sorry for you. And here's why. Because there are always going to be things that we do not understand, but we have to believe by faith. I'm going to say it again. There are always going to be things we do not understand, but we have to believe by faith. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust or have faith in the Lord and lean not to what? Your own understanding, okay? Here is what the Lord said to Ezekiel. He said, can these bones live? Or, you know what he's saying, Ezekiel? Is it logically possible for these bones to live? It's just kind of like what Mendel was talking about, that God will present us sometimes with impossible situations that seem impossible to us, but everything's possible with him, right? The angel of the Lord said, hey, there's nothing that's impossible for God. There's nothing. So he says, hey, can these bones live? Is it logically possible for these bones to live? And Ezekiel says, I don't have a clue, God. Doesn't look like it to me, but you do. To me, it seems impossible, but for you, hey, you could probably do something like that if you wanted to do it. Lord God, I don't know, but you know, right? Job chapter 32, verse 8 says, there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. How many times have we made a statement like this? If I could just understand why that happened or why I'm going through what I'm going through. If we would take the time, I don't want to tell you this, if we would take the time to get into it, we may not understand everything, but this right here will give us a better understanding of things. It'll give us a better understanding, okay? So, number one is the breath of God brings understanding. Here's point two. The breath of God brings order. It brings order. Remember, it says all Scripture is God-breathed. So what I'm saying is Scripture brings order. This is why it goes on to say that it is profitable, right? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It brings order. Look at Ezekiel 37:7 again. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. You know what happened right there at the word of the Lord? That pile of bones, right? They started to become skeletons. Now it's no longer just a pile of dry bones, but the word of the Lord was declared, and order came, and those bones came together, bone on bone, exactly where they were supposed to connect. He spoke God's word, and order came. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3. The earth was out without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, he said, let there be light. And there was light. Listen, God spoke. When you speak, you are breathing out. I don't know if you realize that, but when you speak, a lot of times you're breathing out, okay? God spoke, he breathed out, and when he spoke, out of the darkness and void came order and form and life and light. So the breath of God brings order. Here's number three. Told you I'd go through them quickly. The breath of God brings strength. It brings strength. First part of Ezekiel 37:6. He says, I will put sinews on you. Ezekiel 37:8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. Okay? What is a sinew? A sinew is actually a tendon that connects your muscle to your bone. Okay? So let's say it this way. Let's say God has brought some understanding. You understand how you are saved through Christ, the finished work, the blood of Christ, right? God has brought understanding, and then after you're saved, he brings structure and order to your life. But now you need something to connect you to the power of God. You need something to connect you to the muscle. And I'm telling you, the Word of God connects you to the muscle. It connects you to the power. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus talking, he says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, when you combine reading this word with receiving the Holy Spirit, you're going to walk and live in the power of God. I want to say it again because I don't know if y'all, maybe y'all still tired from 4th of July. I got people dozing off on me. Woo! Just waking you up, okay? Woo, woo! Did it again. I saw y'all. You don't have to be startled. Okay, listen. When you combine reading this with being led and filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, you will walk and live in the power of God. And let me tell you how powerful the breath of God is. In Exodus chapter 15, right after the Israelites have crossed over the Red Sea, they sang a song. I don't know if you remember this or not, but it says they sang a song. They rejoiced, right? And they actually call it the Song of Moses. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, you can go read it for yourself. It actually says that we are going to sing the Song of Moses in heaven along with the Song of the Lamb. It says that. It says that the host will sing the Song of Moses along with the Song of the Lamb. So if you don't know the Song of Moses, you might want to go brush up on it. Read Exodus 15, okay? Because I don't know if when we're in heaven, he's going to have those screens with the words on them. So it might be something you brush up on, right? Let me read you some of that song. Exodus 15, verses 8, 9, and 10. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed or formed a wall in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. The enemy always seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But listen to what the Lord did. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. So this is really cool to think about, right? Do you want to know how God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk across on dry ground? Exodus 15 tells us, it says, with the blast of your nostrils. This is how easy it was for God. This is how powerful the breath of God is. I can barely blow no air out of my nose. There we go. Have y'all tried to do that with your mouth closed tight? Just try it. Everybody try it. Y'all would be amazed at how funny y'all look right now. But that's what he did. He blew air out of his nostrils, and it parted the Red Sea. And then, when the enemy pursued, it says, you blew your wind, and the sea covered them. I like to think that maybe he went, achoo! Boom. My bad, guys. Egyptians are drowned. Right? That's how powerful the breath of God is. He parted the sea, and then he set it back with just a breath. Okay, here's my fourth and final point. Amanda, you can come. The breath of God brings life. It brings life. Ezekiel 37:10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now I want you to remember 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. And when we read this book, we get understanding. Our life starts to get in order. We get the power of God and the strength of God. We're able to walk and live and move and breathe in that. And on top of that, you get life itself because you are filled with the breath of God. Job 33:4 says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." It gives me life. Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." This is the breath of God. And spiritually, it is life to us. It is life to us. And as the pastor of this church, each and every week, okay, I spend several hours a day in this. Several hours a day. And you know what I'm doing? Lost my marker. What I'm doing each and every day as I'm preparing for a sermon is I'm doing this. I'm breathing it in all week. So I can come in here every Sunday and I can go. To breathe out the breath of God that I've taken in. But I'm going to tell you this. One breath a week is not enough for you. If the only breath you're taking spiritually is in here on Sundays, then you're oxygen depleted. If you're not taking this in throughout the week, spiritually, you're suffering. There can be some spiritual brain damage, and your spiritual way of thinking can be very disturbed because you're oxygen depleted in a spiritual sense. We've got to take time, right, every day to look in the mirror, to gather our bread, to drink that life-giving water, and to breathe the air that gives us life itself. I want everybody to stand. I don't know that I could ever truly put into words the importance of the Word of God for a believer. I don't think I could ever convey it, but I'm trying to in this series. And my desire is for you to personally not read this out of obligation or religious routine, but it is to develop such a hunger and a thirst and a need to breathe and a care so deeply that you would look in the mirror to see how you're presenting yourself. That's my desire, is for it to develop those things in a spiritual sense, that we would care what our spiritual body looks like as much as we do our physical body. It is breath to us. It's life to us. And you need it. I need it. We all need it. I want to ask you a few questions. And if you would, just bow your heads. I don't always do that. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I just kind of go with what I feel like the Lord's saying. If you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, you know, I don't know that I'm even spiritually living. I've never come in contact with Jesus, the one who promises me life and life more abundantly. But I want to come into relationship with Him today. If you've never made and confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your heart and your life, and you say, I want to do that today, if that's you, just throw your hand up and put it right back down. See it. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Maybe you hear this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, look, there's some things going on in my life, in my heart, in my own mind that I'm having trouble understanding, and I just need better understanding. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Yeah. Clear understanding. Maybe you say, Pastor Andrew, hey, everything just seems chaotic right now, and I need some order in my life. If that's you, throw your hand up, right? Okay. Maybe you're at a place where you just feel weak. You feel like you need help, and you need strength. You say, I need strength for this season. If that's you, throw your hand up. Yeah. Maybe you say, I just feel like I need to breathe. Feels like, you know, I need a good, long, deep breath, and I need to be able to rest and relax and know that everything's okay. If that's you, just throw your hand up. All right. Life and life more abundantly. I want y'all to look at me. Look, there were hands raised for everything I said. Everything I said, there was a hand raised for at least one for every one of them. And really, there were several hands across this room for a lot of them. This is where we have to make decisions. God, this is what we talk about God doing the impossible. And He does. But there is always a part that we do. People will talk about the spiritual side of things, but they never talk about the practical side of things, okay? God saved Noah and his children on the ark when the earth was flooded. But Noah had to do the practical thing of building the ark, right? There's always acts of faith, okay, that says faith without works is dead. That's why James says that. There is a corresponding action to what I believe. And I want to tell you this before we all come to this altar. Those that want to come, right? There is going to take some practical things on your end for you to continue to get the bread, the air, the water, and the self-evaluation you need. And that's you setting aside time to take it in every day, right? I can't tell you how much time we waste on this. Look, I got sports notifications already. Atlanta Braves, right? We look at this thing for all sorts of things. Sports, social media, weather. We spend a lot of time on electronics, okay? I would love for you to take time to say, I'm going to put this down, or I'm going to use this, right? Because there's a Bible app you can use on that. You can use it for a great thing. I'm going to use this to get my bread, my water, my air, and my self-evaluation every day. We got to make a commitment. That's the practical thing. You want strength in your life. You want better understanding. You want order. You want all this. There's a practical side to it. But if you do this, I can promise you this. He'll do His part. He's faithful. He's even faithful when we're unfaithful. That's how good He is. I'm trying to exhort you and encourage you. Do your part. Because we can sit here and pray and cry and do all this, but if we don't do the practical things, like read the Bible, take daily time to pray, daily time to worship, then we're defeating our own self. We're only getting it once a week. What, do you think how weak I would feel, how tired I would feel if I ate just once a week? If I took one breath a day? Do the practical thing and watch strength come. Watch power come. Watch order come. Watch your understanding come. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, I'm not getting on to you. I'm telling you, I'm telling you the key to the treasure box. And I can tell you that because I've experienced in my own life. Every morning, this morning, I woke up, I opened my Bible out. I start reading. I get my daily bread. I take deep breaths. I get my strength. I take a look in the mirror. Do that spiritually. They're going to begin to sing. I believe, I said, if you combine reading this with the power of the Holy Spirit, right, being filled with the Spirit, you'll walk in power. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Whether you've never been saved, whether you are saved, and you're just needing strength and understanding, things like that, we're going to combine. We believe the Holy Spirit's going to meet you right here in this altar, right? But it's going to take a practical thing and you stepping out by faith and saying, God, I'm saying amen to that. Let it so be in my life, in my heart. So they're going to sing. If you raise your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, I want you to come and we're going to see power come. Holy Spirit, have your way.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.